I remember from the earliest times when I was just a young boy in the office of my grandparents' business, which was actually the nursery business that I took over when I got out of high school. There was a sign hung on the wall that showed a picture of a little dog, and it said the reason a dog has so many friends is that it wags its tail instead of its tongue. And I never really knew or understand the sign until I got a little older and then started to begin to understand what the sign really meant. I know many of you have heard this saying, my grandmother often said it, that if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. As I thought about that this past week, I thought, well, maybe that's why a lot of people don't talk to me ever. I don't know. But at any rate, there's many wise sayings about being careful of what you say. We sing the little song, well, be careful, little tongue, what you say. And the Father up above is looking down in love, so be careful, little tongue, what you say. The tongue's an interesting organ in the body of human beings. We use it to taste with, we use it to swallow with, we use it to speak with. But the tongue can also be a destructive weapon against oneself and against others. And though small, though it's very hard to control, yet how much the tongue says about who we are as Christians. So we look at the text of our scripture today from James chapter 3. We see several things that James is saying about taming the tongue. And we have to understand that James is writing this in the context of talking about faith and works working together. In other words, your faith as a Christian and your works as a Christian working together in a whole package. And in verse 2 of chapter 3, he says, we all stumble in many ways. As I started to read over this past week, I read over the part that said, not many of you should presume to be teachers because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. And that's something that puts the fear of God in me every week when I stand up here, that I'm teaching out of God's Word. And my prayers have always been, God, don't let me mislead anyone because that's not my intention. Only help me to lead them to you. But James says that all stumble in many ways. All stumble. Claiming to be good, but not acting that way. Claiming to be Christians, but not acting that way. Claiming to be strong, but acting weak, is what he's saying here in the context of faith and works. In other words, there were many in that day that were claiming to be Christians by their faith, but their works and their speech were now not a manifestation of their faith as Christians. In pastoral ministry, in 9 years of pastoral ministry, I have heard more snide remarks, mean comments, mean thoughts, and even threats than I had in 23 years of secular business in the nursery and landscape industry. I was shocked by that as the years go on. In fact, within the first 10 minutes of meeting someone, you can tell by their talk, by their speech and their language, where they are in their faith journey. And what James is trying to say here, that is, our deeds and our speech have to coincide and be consistent with our faith and who we claim to be and whose we claim to be. That it's important that what you believe and how you talk is evidence of God in a person's life. And that if we claim to be perfect, we have to remember that perfection means the whole body's in check. The whole body. That there's not one single part of the body that sins against God or does wrong. And the examples he uses as to the power of the tongue and the importance of the tongue and the purpose of the tongue. He uses the example of the bit steering the horse, the rudder steering the large ship, the spark that sets the great forest on fire. In other words, what he's saying here is that the tongue has the purpose of direction, but it also can have the result of disaster. Okay? And he says, when we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, that we can turn the whole animal with just a little bit. He says, even though they're so large, they're driven by strong winds, large ships are steered by just a small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. And he says, in the same way, likewise, the tongue is just a small part of the body, just like the bit, just like the rudder, but it makes great boasts. And he says, in fact, consider what a great forest is set on fire by just the small spark. He says, and he's saying, so consider what fire you can create by just that small thing you call the tongue. The tongue, he says, is evil. It corrupts. It sets the whole course of a person's life. The tongue also is a fire, a whirl of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person. It sets the whole course of his life on fire and is itself set on fire by hell. What he is saying here is that if Satan wants to get to us and desires to get to us and cause us to act outside of our Christian faith, the first place and the quickest place he's going to get it done is our tongues. That's where he's going to go, is our tongues. And he goes on to say that we've tamed all kinds of creatures, birds, reptiles, creatures of the sea that have been tamed and are being tamed. We've tamed all these things. Why can't we tame the tongue? No man can tame the tongue because it's a restless evil full of deadly poison and cannot be tamed. He's telling us that we need to be careful, that we need to work at taming our tongue, because it's the thing that's wild and out of control that needs to be bridled and brought into obedience to our Christian faith. And if we're not using our tongues to back up our faith and our Christian beliefs and who we are in Jesus Christ, then we have these inconsistencies in our lives, don't we? People look at us and say, Wow, listen to what they're saying. I can't believe what they said, what they just said. If they have the true love of Christ and the unity of the Holy Spirit inside them, why are they talking like that? In fact, James says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. He's talking about the inconsistencies of faith and action. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same stream? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? No, the answer is no, it can't. Well, neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. He's saying that inasmuch as this is inconsistent, neither can a true believer in Christ produce the evil of Satan out of their tongue, out of their mouths, from their tongue. And he goes on to say about the wisdom that comes from heaven is pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. And that's how we should act, according to James, if we're to act consistently with our faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus said in Matthew 15, the things that proceed out of the mouth come from what's in the heart. And those defile the man, because he's saying that if what comes out of your mouth is detestable to God, then what's in your heart must be too. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders. These are the things that defile the person, Jesus said. Because it shows what's truly in the heart of a person. And if the Holy Spirit is living and dwelling in the heart, James isn't saying that we're going to be perfect. But what he's saying is here that we need to watch our tongues and watch what we say and watch how we treat others through what we say. Because as Jesus said in Luke 6, a good man out of the great treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth that which is evil. For the abundance of the heart, from the abundance of his heart, his mouth speaks. From the abundance of his heart, his mouth speaks. Now, take this bottle of Pepsi. Okay? We're going to try a little experiment here. We're going to open this cap and see what happens. Now, right away, everybody's terrified, aren't they? Scared to death of the mess we're going to make. We're scared to death of the stickiness that we're going to create all over everything. And more yet, we're a little afraid that we're not going to get it on up here. But you know, that's not. if we are truly living with the Holy Spirit inside us, living as God wants us to live, we should be more concerned with the stickiness that what spews out in these times when we're so bottled up and built up with pressure. The stickiness that it's going to cause, the mess that it's going to cause, and the fact that it's going to stain us and those around us. That's one of the most serious issues today in our world. That when we're bottled up with anger or resentment over something because somebody's not done something the way we thought it should be done, or they've not done something that we thought they should have done, in that moment of effervescence where the bottle gives off the gas bubbles inside, the snide comments that are made, the public accusations, the public questions regarding the actions of that other person, or maybe the private berating or tearing down of someone else. This, you've not done this the way I thought it should be done. Why didn't you do this? Why did you do that? Why did you say this? And so forth and so on. It's a terrible disease that has spread throughout our world. And I'm not talking about being politically correct in our speech, because people will say, well, it's the truth, and they needed to hear it. That might be so, but it's in the way that we allow this rudder to steer our actions and our speech that we need to be careful of. If we just take a moment to count to 10 and say a little prayer, the carbonation tends to die down and settle down. You know, carbonation in a drink is when you impregnate a drink, or you introduce carbon dioxide into the liquid. And you know, folks, carbon dioxide is something that we breathe out. We exhale because we don't need it inside us. And neither do we need the carbonation of the evil that Satan puts in our hearts coming out of our mouths, because it says a whole lot to the world about who we are and who we belong to. And so what can we do about it? What's our choice? How can we deal with this tongue of mine that keeps saying these things, that keeps blurting out these things that I shouldn't say? What can we do? We have to work at it. It takes hard work. It takes training. And we never will be perfect until we enter into glory. I remember back in the 1972 Olympics in Munich, Germany. As a young boy, I was 11 years old, watching this that summer. I watched the Olympic weightlifters. And I watched one in particular that I'll never forget till the day I die. His name was Vasily Alexiev. Maybe you remember him, Vasily Alexiev. He was this Russian guy, and he walked up there. He was all bumped up, and he was putting stuff on his hands. And I had never seen this before. And he walked up there, and his legs were big, and he walked up to this great big barbell, and he stood there, and he started hopping and puffing the way they do, and he bent over and he took that weight. There was this little guy with these great big barbells down on the end, and he picked that thing up and bent, and there he was. And then he got down and he took it up. I mean, the man set like 70 or 80 records lifting weights. Like, that was unbelievable. And the only thing that crossed my mind was, wow, he's done that before. He's trained a lot. He's lifted a lot of weights to be able to do that in that way. But, I mean, the man was incredible. And you know, that's the way it is with our tongues. Our tongues can be strengthened to bear that weight when it tries to bubble up out of our hearts to deal with those issues. And Paul said, when he wrote to the Philippians, chapter 4, that we need to resist the devil and he'll flee. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, he said to the Ephesians, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it might benefit those who listen. Only those things that are helpful. Rather than concentrating on what the person hasn't done, or the people haven't done, or what they've done wrong, step back for a second and say, what have they done right? What are they doing that's good? How can I say you're doing a good job? Because, you know, generally if you're telling someone they're doing a good job and point out what they're doing good, they're going to take the truth of maybe some of the things that they're not doing right or they're doing bad a little bit better, aren't they? Because you've built them up and you've strengthened them first and foremost. Again, Paul, writing to the Philippians. If I can find it here in time. Told them that we are to resist Satan. James writes in chapter 4, submit yourselves then to God. After he writes about taming the tongue, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and the devil will flee from you. Come near to God, and he'll come near to you. Come near to God, and he'll come near to you. Because you see, when we come near to God in prayer, in Bible study, in devotion, when we come near to God, he comes near to us. In that moment of shakenness, when we're bubbling and ready to just pop out all over the place, as the song goes, one little word will befell him. Jesus. Jesus. Just turn around and say, Jesus. When Satan's there saying, go ahead, explode, let it all out because it's the truth and they need to hear it, close your eyes and say, Jesus. Jesus. Brothers, he says, do not slander one another. Because anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. And remember, James was the brother of Jesus. When James writes this, and his brother says that what proceeds out of the mouth comes from the heart, it tells us a little something about God's Word and what God wants for us as Christians. That we are to live consistent with our faith. We are to be a little Christ, molded into the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who sometimes upset people by what he said, but yet was loving and kind and merciful in building up. Let's pray. Dear God, sometimes your word is hard for us to hear and accept. And I pray that we do that today. I pray that I do that today. Because we know that no man is perfect but the man Jesus Christ. And the tongue is that part of us which gives us fits all the time and troubles us. And with it, Lord, we can build others up. We can use it for the edification and the building up of others to your glory. Help us to do that today, tomorrow, this week, and every day of our lives, that we might not make a great mess, a sticky mess, a mess that covers us and others around us by opening our mouths when we're bubbling up inside with carbonated conversation. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's close this morning with what I feel is a very appropriate hymn, actually a prayer hymn, 402. So let's turn there as we close together. 402.